As you know, each month out there on the bulletin board, we have a Bible reading assignment for the month. And I try to remember to send out an email with that assignment on it. There have been some months where I've forgotten. But there are actually people out there who get the email, and they like to be a part of this. I've had some very positive feedback on it. And so this assignment, you know, it's not homework. In other words, you know, we don't give tests. Now I don't come around asking people, have you read your Bible? But it's for our benefit. And I can remember when I was a kid growing up, it was interesting. You know, in our church, Baptist Church, our envelopes had these little boxes down at the bottom. And you would like check off if you did everything that was there. Like, did you read your Bible and did you do this and, you know, did you do that? And you would get points for each one. It was an honor system. And then they had somebody that kept track of this. And at the end of the year, based on the points that you had, you would get some kind of an award. I don't remember what it was they gave. But I can remember, you know, I wanted to get all my little boxes checked off. And I wanted to get all the points I could get. So when it said, you know, Bible reading, I grabbed my little pocket New Testament, open it up and read a verse or two and say, yep, did that. You know, I mean, I was telling the truth, but, you know, that's cheap. You know what I'm saying? Nevertheless, you know, that assignment, the reason that's important, well, a couple of things. The Lord helped me understand years ago that we are trained to do nothing until somebody tells us. Now, what I mean is this. When you go to school, the teacher tells you what to read, what to study, tells you what homework to complete, and so we do that. And that lasts all through elementary school and junior high and high school, and then if you go into college, it's the same thing. Then, when you get a job, you're told what to do on your job. But when it comes to us being, I guess you could say, self-motivated, generally speaking, people are very weak in that area because we're trained to wait for instruction and then do it. So, with these Bible reading assignments, even though you know there's no test and follow-up and so forth, it is something that is presented to you so that now you have an assignment. So the idea of, you know, well, everybody read your Bible, and I don't know about you, but in my past, you'd hear that. I'd hear that, you know, well, read your Bible. I'm thinking, okay, what do I read? What? Well, you got 66 books. Yeah, I know, but what do I read? What do I read? Help me out. What am I supposed to do? Which is kind of silly, because all you have to do is open and start reading. But when somebody says, okay, read this, like, oh, okay, now I know what to do. And not everybody is like that. A lot of people, you know, they can motivate themselves to do things. But most people, when it comes to, you know, the whole issue of reading the Bible, a lot of times they just need somebody to tell them, okay, here's what you do. But there's more to it than that. It's more than just being able to read your Bible and say you did it. There's a reason for this. And I think sometimes as Christians, we lose focus about the Bible, that this is God's Word. You know, years ago, God impressed upon me that the Bible is a written form of who He is. A written form of His existence, if you will. The Bible, you know, Jesus said, my words are spirit and their life. Our minds can't comprehend that because we look at ink on paper. It's like, well, how can that be spirit? How can it be life? I don't understand. You know what? We don't have to understand. In fact, we might not ever throughout all eternity really understand how did this book contain spirit and life. How was it like that? Whether I ever understand it or not, Jesus said it. So therefore, it is what he said. When it comes to Scripture, there's some things that we need to understand about the Word of God, what it does for us, and how critical it is for our existence. Let's start over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, some of the verses we're going to read tonight, we have read so many times in the past. And I can't speak for everybody, but there are some verses in the Bible that really, you know, for me are, I don't know what you'd say, like life standard verses. Like they really make an impact on me. And it may not be the same for you. At least my impact verses may not be your impact verses, but every single one of us, there are some verses that really hit home for us, for whatever the reason would be. Well, here, now we're talking tonight about God's Word and how critical it is for us as believers. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then in chapter 3, verse 16, we find out why we need to study. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now really, these two verses right here should be all we need. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture means Genesis to Revelation. So we can't pick and choose and say, well, this is valuable and that's not. All scripture, including all of those and-so-and-so begat so-and-so and-so-and-so begat so-and-so. You know, you read it and you think, why in the world? And then those other passages, like in the Old Testament, so many cubits by so many cubits and so many this and all. It's like, why is this in there? Okay, even if we don't understand why it's in there and there's a reason for it. So therefore, those passages are beneficial to our lives. And he says, all scripture given by inspiration of God and is profitable. I really don't need any more than that. Because if God in here says that all scripture is profitable, well, you know what? That should be good enough. But God says, I'm going to tell you even more. I'm going to tell you what it's profitable for. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Okay, that's really good, but why do I need that? Here's why, verse 17. So that you, my child, the person redeemed by the blood of my son, may get to the place of being fully mature spiritually and thoroughly furnished, equipped spiritually unto everything I want you to do. You realize what this is saying? If I don't get into the Word of God, then I will not have the chance to become fully mature spiritually and thoroughly furnished or equipped to do everything God wants me to do. I can't have any preacher lay hands on me and do for me what the Word of God does. So he's telling you right here, look, if you want to be everything that you can be in me, it starts right here in Scripture. You say, well, I just sit around and pray in tongues. Yeah, you can. Absolutely you can. But you know what the Holy Spirit's going to do? He's going to try and get you back into the Word because all Scripture is profitable for the fullness of our spiritual development. So then, along with this, it's like Jesus gave us a variation on this theme over in Mark chapter 4. I'll turn over there. Mark chapter 4. And he's just given the parable of, you know, the seed and the birds and all this. And we pick it up in verse 13. And he said, they wanted to know, what's this mean, this parable? What does it mean? Jesus said, know you not this parable? How then will you know all parables? Now stop right there. A lot of times we read these parables in Scripture. We scratch our head and we wonder, what in the world is this talking about? And Jesus says, okay, I'll tell you what. When you understand this parable of the sower, it is the key to understanding every other parable in Scripture. He says, the sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So what he's describing here is, if you want to understand Scripture more clearly, then you absolutely have to be a sower of the word. Well, where am I sowing it? I'm sowing it in me. And he says, a lot of people hear the word, but they allow other things to distract them away from being persistent and consistent in sowing the word into their lives. And then at the end here in verse 20, he said, the people that really put forth the effort to get into the word and just keep sowing it and sowing it and sowing it, he said, you know what? It's not just a matter that they're hearing it, but they're going to receive it. And over time, they will bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So he's talking about what the word is going to produce in our lives. All this being said, let's go back to the Old Testament and see, I guess you could almost say, prophetic passages that are talking about this before this ever came about. In other words, in the Old Testament, very prophetic imagery concerning what we've read here so far, and it existed, and then it's like in the New Testament, it's reiterating what God prophesied back in the Old Testament. So start off in Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, and just look right here at the very beginning what God is telling us. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He makes a decision. Delight yourself in the Lord. He makes a decision that his delight is going to be in the word of God, and he is going to be a sower of the word. In his word doth he meditate. Does he sow day and night? And look at this. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He's the one who does what? He brings forth fruit. 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. We're seeing the same thing here. And he also says that whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, how in the world can you guarantee that whatsoever you doeth shall prosper? Because when you're in the Word constantly, then what you start doing is what the Word says to do. And God says his Word won't return void. It will accomplish what he has sent it forth to accomplish. Now, if you look, keep your finger here in Psalms. We'll come back here in just a bit. But in Proverbs chapter 1, and what's interesting is that Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, he's telling you ahead of time what the rest of this book is going to do for you. In other words, here's my introduction. Here's why Psalms exists. It's so you can meditate day and night and get to the place where you're bearing the fruit of God's will in your life. And then here in Proverbs, it's a variation of the same thing, beginning in verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. What did Jesus say? What, you don't know this parable? Well, if you don't know this parable, how will you know all parables? The sower sows the word. So here he's telling you right at the beginning of the book of Proverbs, here's why the book of Proverbs exists. It's to help you come to the place of receiving instruction, wisdom, justice, judgment, subtlety to the simple, knowledge, discretion, and a wise man. In other words, this is the person, this is the Mark chapter 4, verse 20 person who hears it, receives it. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. So God is telling you right here in Psalms, in Proverbs, and what we read in Mark, if you want to understand my word, here's a key right here. Get in the word. If you want to understand it, get into it. Now, let's take a look at some passages that tell us what the word will do for us as we're sowing it, as we're reading these proverbs, as we're in the book of Psalms and so forth. In Scripture, the sum total of the Word of God, what will it do? Well, turn to Psalm 119. I can remember when our son was in Dayton Christian School, and they had to memorize certain passages of Scripture and then recite it. They had to recite it to, you know, mom and dad, and then we had to sign off on it or something like that. And I remember one time, the assignment was Psalm 119. Well, that would strike fear into the heart of anybody. But it turned out it was only a very short portion of Psalm 119. And he was greatly relieved on that one. But Psalm 119, now look here, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. Look at that. God is saying the more of my word that you sow into you, the anointing of my word joins with my life in you to strengthen you against yielding to sin. This is what he's telling you right here. So now, this could be one reason why a lot of Christians become backsliders. It's because they don't get enough word in them. God's right here. God is telling you, the word, thy word, I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know that his word is life. It combines, you know, it's compatible with his life in us, but it also strengthens the conscience of the new nature. So he's telling you, you know, if you're struggling with sin, whatever it would be, doesn't matter. One of the best things you can do is get in the Word, get in the Word, get in the Word. Just stay in the book of Proverbs. Stay in the book of Psalms. And keep putting it in, putting it in, putting it in. And it will strengthen you to say no to every form of temptation. Well, Psalm 119, in verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. In other words, I feel like giving up. I feel like quitting. You know, everything's just lousy. Life stinks. I feel like just not, I don't want to go to church anymore. I don't want to hear another sermon. I don't want to. He said, but God, strengthen thou me, how? According to thy word. In other words, God's word produces strength to help us continue pressing forward. One of the best things you can do when you feel like I quit, I just, that's it. I don't want to go back to church anymore. One of the best things you can do is force yourself into the word. Because the anointing in the word of God will release strength on the inside of us to help us to keep going. The problem is, when people get to that point, I don't even want to read my Bible anymore. Okay, well, you know what? You better force yourself to. Because the word of God is going to strengthen you to keep going forward. Psalm 119, verse 65. Look at this. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. And this is really good because this is telling us God's word explains how he interacts with us. A lot of people want to blame God for this, blame God for that, and so forth. And God is saying, well, you know what? I deal with you according to my word. So if you get in my word, it's going to give you a confidence to understand I'm not doing half the stuff you blame me for. You're going to understand how I deal with you. You're going to understand that I'm a loving father and I deal with you from that perspective. Yes, I do chasten at times. And that doesn't mean I go around breaking people's legs and pulling their ears off. No, it just means that I'll bring correction into your life. But I deal with you according to my word. So if you don't get in my word, you're really not going to understand how it is that I deal with you. So if you want to understand God better, you get into his word. Look at Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, that is quoted so many times. It's been sung about to where it almost has become a mantra. You know what I'm saying? But what this verse is saying is that God's word helps us discern his will. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The more we get into his word, the more we're going to understand what he wants us to do. You know, it's interesting. Pastor Jim, please pray for me that I know God's will for my life. Okay, well, I can do that. But you know what? If you get into the word, what's going to happen is you're going to, your spirit is going to become more in tune with God and how he directs people. You'll come to the place of having a much better understanding of his will for your life, because his word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Think of it like this. His word will illuminate the direction you're supposed to go. A lot of Christians, I just want to hear God. I just want him to talk. Oh God, speak to me, speak to me. And he could come back and say, my word will speak to you every day. Get into my word. Look at Psalm 119, verse 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. God's word explains how he is our hiding place when we're facing adversity. God, how can I trust you? God says, well, you know what? I'm your hiding place, but if you don't get into my word, you're not going to understand how I can be that hiding place for you. You need to get into my word. And I just want to throw this out. As I'm going through this tonight, I mean, I'm telling you, what we're seeing here tonight answers a whole lot of questions that so many Christians have. A lot of frustrations they go through. The answers are right here in the Word of God. If you look in Psalm 119, verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. What? You don't know this parable? Well, how will you know all parables? The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. That word simple, let me say it like this. It gives understanding to those who don't yet have understanding. So the more I get into His Word, the more His Word helps me understand His Word. The whole idea of keeping it in context. One of the benefits of these reading assignments, you know, read this particular book, you know, 3 times, 5 times, 7 times, you know, 10 times during the week. The more you do that, the more the context of that entire book is going to become more and more clear to you. You're going to see beyond the verse numbers and the chapter breaks. You're going to begin to grasp the entire message that is in that book. And he says right here, the entrance of God's Word gives light and it gives understanding. Okay, how many of us want that? I think we all do. So therefore, the more we get into the Word of God, the more this understanding is going to come. Look in Psalm 107. Psalm 107. And look at verse 20. He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And now look over in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So he tells us in Psalm 107 that his word is healing, it's health. We see it, there are so many verses on this, that in Proverbs he said his word is power for healing and it's power for deliverance. This may not make any sense to anybody, but when we feast on his word, when we keep sowing his word, do you realize what we're doing? We are sowing healing power into our lives, into our bodies. We're sowing healing into us. It's really sad how so many Christians dismiss this in spite of the fact that God tells you right here, my word produces healing. I sent my word to heal. The entrance of my word, it delivers healing to your body, to your flesh. Another place it talks about healing to your bones. And it's amazing to me how many Christians, they refuse to get into the Word of God when they're facing an illness. But you know what? You know how doctors will tell you, okay, when you get older and you're on Medicare, they want you to do all these health evaluations. You know, sometimes they want to send somebody to your home and, you know, check your blood pressure and ask you questions to make sure you're not senile and all this other. And then sometimes, you know, they'll tell you, well, you know, you need to take a baby aspirin every day for the health of your heart. You go, well, whatever. You need to take this vitamin and need to take. Why are they telling you that? I mean, are they getting a kickback from the aspirin companies? No. They tell you that because it's preventive for future problems. And so, you know what? One of the most foolish things you can do, if you go to a doctor and the doctor says, well, I want you to take a baby aspirin every day. You know what? Take the baby aspirin. I live by faith. Then why'd you go to the doctor in the first place? Come on now. It's preventive. Okay, I get into the Word, get into the Word, get into the Word. The more I get into the Word, the more I'm releasing that healing anointing from the Word into my life, to my body. It's preventive. You say, well, it sure ain't doing a good job because I've been battling this and I've been battling that. Okay, how much have you been getting into the Word? And how much have you been preventing by getting into the Word? For all we know, God could say, yeah, I know you're battling this, you're battling that, and those things are healable. But let me tell you what would have happened if you hadn't been in the Word to the level that you are. Do you realize you have prevented heart attacks? Do you realize you... See, we don't know this. We do not know what we have prevented by getting into the Word. God knows. So you know what? Maybe I'm glad I don't know what I prevented. But the more I get into the Word, that healing power is being released into my body. And for people who are battling stuff, one of the best things we can do, sow the word, and reap the 30, 60, 100-fold concerning our health. Well, look over in Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2 and look at verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Now stop right there. He says, receive my words, hide my commandments with thee, sow them in your heart, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom. See that? So what do we see in here? We see that God's word produces wisdom. And another, there, oh my goodness, you get into the book of Proverbs, there is so much about what the wisdom of God will produce and do in our life. There is so much that if you do this, it takes us beyond a level of just having good ideas. This wisdom, he goes in and he talks about how wisdom helps us understand how that we can increase financially and materially. You know, wisdom says, I'm paraphrasing, riches, wealth, substance, you know, they're mine, and those that find me, I will teach them how to increase their substance, increase, you know, their wealth. Wisdom does this. Now think about that. How many Christians... You know, they're really upset about their financial situation. And, you know, here's what's interesting. All the years that I have heard preachers talk about, I mean this over and over again, prosperity preachers, you better sow or you're not going to reap. You know, the more you sow, the more you get. Your tithe opens the windows of heaven and your offerings determine how much comes out. And all this other, on and on and on. You know what? I don't ever remember one of those preachers telling me, if you get in the book of Proverbs, wisdom comes and wisdom will help you increase. I've never heard that. But it's in here the whole time. Here's the difference. And I'm not blaming those preachers for doing this on purpose, but let's face it. If all they do is point us to the Word of God, and they don't tell us that we get richer by giving, guess what? Their offerings are going to go down. And they're not going to have as much coming in. So, it's to my benefit as a preacher to point you to the Word of God. Because the more I point you to the Word of God, the more His blessings will be on my life. Because it won't be about me. It's going to be all about Him. And so wisdom, if you get into to Proverbs and just begin reading about everything that wisdom will do, oh my goodness. And this isn't world's wisdom. This is the kind of wisdom that only the Word of God will produce in our lives. Look in Romans chapter 10. Folks, you need to understand that here tonight we are just scratching the surface concerning what God's Word will do for us. All through Scripture, over and over again, we see examples of God declaring what His Word will do. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Sermons are great, but the Word of God is better. Now, we have to have teaching. I mean, that's scriptural. That's God even says, you know, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. All of that is scriptural. But it all comes back to the Word. And what's interesting is that tonight, we're reading a lot of Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the more that, you know, when you read the Bible, you're hearing it internally. We understand that. the more we get into the Word, you know what? Faith is coming. Walk by faith, not by sight. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So on and so forth. And He says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So guess what? Yeah, it's interesting. When you get into the Word of God, everything the Word of God says it will do for us is being done. In other words, it's a multifaceted blessing. I'm getting into the Word. Guess what? Wisdom is coming. Faith is coming. Healing is coming. On and on. All of it is coming. Why? Because it's the Word of God. It's not selective. It's a sum total of the promises of God has made to us. In 2 Peter chapter 1, turn over there. I sincerely hope this is encouraging some folks to get into the Word more. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So, I've escaped the corruption that's in the world. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And, you know, I want to see God move in my life. And He says right here, well, you've been given, He says, great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. I've received the divine nature, but now I want to partake with everything that it represents in my life. So therefore, for that to happen, I need to get into the Word of God and take these, find out what the promises are. You know what? There are a lot of preachers, they may stand up and tell you what God has promised that He never promised. But if you get into the Word, you're going to find out what He has promised. When you find out what He's promised, you know what you can believe for. You know what will happen. And if you look over here in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And look at this, a verse. Who knows how many times Christians have read this. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, when I was reading that today, what jumped out to me is that the Word of God will help bring about mental stability. A divider between soul and spirit. Your spirit does not have emotional problems. That's in the area of the soul. And the Word of God has the ability, think of it like this, the Word of God has the ability to cut in between soul and spirit and begin to elevate spirit, mind of Christ, above the soulish stuff that's going on. I have met Christians that, I'm telling you, emotionally, there's something going on. And I'm not saying they're demon-possessed, but man, they need help. Well, you know what? The Word of God is sharper. It's powerful, it's quick, and all this other than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. I'm telling you, the Word of God will help bring mental stability in a person's life. Now, doctors will say there are some people that, you know, they have a chemical imbalance in their brain, and that helps create problems and so forth. Now, I'm not going to doubt and question medical research, because they're not going to just say that if they didn't have some kind of medical research to help back it up. But here's what I do know. God's Word is healing. And God's Word can bring about a healing when it comes to a chemical imbalance. And then God's Word can bring stability in the mind of an individual. Now let me say this. In some areas, all right, here you go. just use the whole issue of this mental stability as an example. There are some Christians who need more Word of God than others when it comes to mental stability. I'm not being critical. There are some Christians who need the Word of God more than others when it comes to physical healing, because they're really dealing with something. Now, does that diminish the need for the Word of God for everybody else? No, not at all. But the point I'm making is, when there's stuff going on in our lives, regardless of what it is, I don't know what to do. Oh, God, how can I trust you? Oh, God, help me this, help me that. God is, just in what we've read here tonight, God is telling us that you've got answers right here. This is what my word is to you. So, if you don't do anything with it, I don't know what else to tell you. Because, see, God won't circumvent his word. He works within the structure and the framework of what he has already declared unto us. Everything that we've read tonight, this is what God's word is to every single one of us. And if we get into the word, we will start finding out what else God's word is to us. And especially in the book of Psalms and in Proverbs, God continually reveals to us. You know, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. Okay, that means his word impacts me on a spiritual level. On and on it goes. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All right, well, that tells me that in a way I just flat out don't understand. I'm putting a little bit more of God into my life when I read the Word. You say, Brother Martin, that doesn't make any sense. Well, maybe it doesn't to the world. But if in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God and the Word was God and this is the Word, well, then guess what? I must be adding more God to my life. You understand the imagery. Folks, I want to encourage you in this. All of us, fight the emotions that say, I don't feel like reading my Bible, and read and read and pray and ask God to help you in this area of diligence to desire to get into the Word. He will, because he wants us to be at that place. And we've all gone through the ebbs and the flows. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to get into the Word, I'm going to read it, and nothing's going to stop me. Everything goes great for about a month, and then guess what? Another month goes by, and we realize, uh-oh, I haven't been doing so well lately. You know what? You get back on the train and ride. Just keep going. God's Word will do more for us than any sermon, than any laying on of hands service. God's Word is his holy move in our lives, and it will do everything that he said it will do. Be encouraged, folks. Get in the Word of God and be a sower.